Good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. We're gathered here on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Call this commission meeting to order. I'm Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioner Randy Christman and Commissioner Brian Crosius, so we have a quorum. In terms of opening comments, I will defer first to my colleagues if they have any. Randy, do you have any comments this morning?
I think with the rate case this afternoon and all the legislative stuff, I'll just pass.
Very good.
I have no opening comments.
Same with me. It is a very busy day here at the commission, so we'll get right on to business. We have a few items on the consent agenda. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I want to just take a second to compliment staff in PUD on the citing application fee interim refund, the new way in which, it's relatively new way in which they provide that summary to us. I think the receipt that shows the balance and the expenses and where how everything was spent is really helpful in reviewing those and provides a lot of great transparency. So good job. Moving on to the regular agenda, I do not have any items myself, so I'll move it over to Commissioner Christman.
Well, and actually, besides the busy schedule we have, I was glad that we didn't spend a lot of opening time on comments. I'm even glad that you didn't have any items because I'm so excited to get to this first one. So my first motion, Madam Chair, finding that the necessary actions have been completed to enable North Dakota to continue seven-digit dialing, I move the commission direct staff to conclude its investigation and actions in Public Service Commission 988-FCC-20-100 compliance.
Second.
On July 16th of last year, the Federal Communications Commission issued an order requiring a three-digit phone number, 988, be activated nationwide. The number is to be used as a suicide prevention hotline. Very good and important cause. The FCC's order requires that any area code utilizing the 888 prefix must transition from 7 to 10-digit dialing across the entire area code. That includes landlines and cell phones, local calls, and long-distance calls. If an area code has no utilization of 988 prefix and has it permanently deactivated, the area code may retain 7-digit dialing, and the transition to 10-digit dialing must begin no later than April 24th of 2021, only 5 weeks away. On August 24th of last year, staff was made aware of the FCC order and began an investigation into its impact upon North Dakota and the 701 area code. Staff investigation found that the 988 prefix is active in the Bismarck Rate Center, and thus North Dakota needed to transition to 10-digit dialing. That, of course, is not the part I'm excited about. The block of 701-988-9000 through 9999 had been assigned to Peerless Network. Upon staff's request, Peerless Network immediately reassigned their numbers and returned the block. However, one of their former customers had their number ported to Verizon Wireless, and after contacting several different parties at Verizon, they ultimately transitioned their single customer to a new number, freeing up the 988-9000 block. The block of 988-8000 through 8999 had been assigned to Cameo LLC. And after discussion about the options and procedures, Cameo agreed to reassign their customers in that block, and a new prefix would be created and assigned to them from the Bismarck Rate Center. On November 2nd, Cameo submitted a request to the North American Numbering Pooling Administration System, who also needs to approve all this, as well as the FCC, for additional numbering resources and that new prefix out of the Bismarck Rate Center. The North American Numbering Group subsequently, to our great dismay, denied the request due to Cameo not meeting what is called the months to exhaust requirements. However, we have something to say about that too, and on November 18th, we approved a waiver to the months to exhaust requirement. The waiver, and that action by this commission allowed the creation of that new prefix and allowed Cameo to obtain the new block of 1,000 numbers from the Bismarck number pool. So on December 17th, staff participated in a conference call between the FCC, North American Numbering, and Cameo to discuss the status of North Dakota's progress toward implementing 988. The meeting was initiated by the FCC because they were concerned that we were not moving forward with 10-digit dialing. During the call, staff was able to explain the special situation North Dakota is in. At the end of the call, the timeline was established, requiring Cameo to transition its customers utilizing those 988 phone numbers to new numbers by February 1st, and subsequently deactivate and return the 988 block to the pool by March 2nd. Staff continued communication between December and March, put in a lot of work with them, with all the parties, to ensure the steps and procedures were completed correctly and on schedule. On March 10th, staff confirmed with North American Numbering that the 988 prefix had, in fact, been successfully deactivated within our area code. This means North Dakota is officially off the list of area codes that must transition to 10-digit dialing. Our telecommunication carriers may now confidently make the necessary changes to their internal systems to enable the new 988 three-digit number to be dialed without the need to convert their customers to 10-digit dialing. The 988 code must be activated nationwide by July 16th of 2022, although the carriers may enable the code at any point between now and that date. A caller dialing the 988 code will be automatically routed to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. This lifeline consists of a network of approximately 170 crisis centers around the country that is supported by local, state, and federal sources in addition to public and private sources. And I just want to conclude this by saying that we know North Dakotans value the convenience of seven-digit dialing, and we exerted extensive efforts to preserve it. And I am just super thankful for our great staff and for the cooperation of the companies and customers who made it all possible.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, first of all, kudos to the staff and to Commissioner Christman for leading the charge on this. Unfortunately, this is a reflection of the crisis our country currently is faced with today in terms of suicide. And I'm thankful for the many organizations and individuals that work continuously on suicide prevention. This is a reaction, of course, to a crisis that's currently occurring, where timing is, in fact, critical, and reaction time is of the essence. So, it's a very sobering situation when you think of the driver behind this. But at the same time, if this can help individuals in need quickly and efficiently, it's where we're at today as a society. So hopefully that will change in the future. I would like to envision a day where we do not need a suicide prevention hotline in this country. I don't know if that will ever realistically occur, but for the frontline workers in this arena in particular, they're doing incredible work each and every day as well.
Yeah, Brian, you make a very good point. And You know, we live in a broken world and really trying times. And there's a lot of very broken, sad folks out there. And it is sobering to know that we have to have this, or that there's a need or demand for a nationwide suicide hotline. But I do find hope in the fact that there's people out there that made this happen, and that we can have it, and we do have it, and that in places like North Dakota, Randy kind of grabbed the bull by the horns and said, we can make this happen, and we can do it without having to disrupt every single person in the state and change something that we've all taken great pride in and enjoyed, which is not having to dial an area code with every single in-state number. And so kudos to you and the staff for making that happen, and to the customers who volunteered to change their numbers. That's not easy. I mean, we get attached to these numbers. They become kind of part of our identity, and it's a hassle having to tell all your family and friends and network that you got a different number, and that's the hassle for the people who had to change. So hats off to all of those people as well.
Yeah, I just add a couple of little background. When I was on a local cooperative telephone board, there's still people that are irritated after 40 to 50 years about having to go from 5-digit dialing to 7-digit dialing for their local calls and didn't like that. And I am aware of one of our cooperatives who got some new switching equipment that was designed for 10-digit dialing and thought, you know, people will get used to it. And the backlash was such that they reprogrammed their equipment. it is a big deal to people. I know people in many other states are used to 10-digit dialing. We don't need it here at this point, so we managed to avoid it for a while.
Yeah, I think it's great, and it's one of those sort of old traditions that you hate to see fade away. And so it was great that we were able to preserve that. And it's an example where, you know, the Public Service Commission is one of those agencies that does a lot of work in the background, but people sometimes wonder what we do that matters to them, and this is one of those small little things that would have an impact every day. So good job making that happen.
Thanks.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and my other motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company.
Sorry, it was a little delayed.
Okay, crowd, settle down. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company 2021 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates, case number PU-21-30.
Do we have a second?
On January 19th, Otter Tail filed an application to change its renewable resource cost recovery rider rate. The proposed rate reflects forecasted costs related to investments in the Ashtabula, Langdon, and Maricourt wind energy facilities for April 1st, 2021 through March of next year, and a true-up of under-recovered costs from the previous recovery period. On February 3rd, this commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing that provided until March 12th for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No requests for a hearing were received. That notice identified the following issues to be considered in the matter. First of all, whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery. Second, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent. And third, whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail's tariff. Otter Tail proposes $11,758,253 be collected from customers during the recovery period. That requirement includes just under $10.7 million of costs associated with the three wind projects, just over $1 million associated with the true-up, and a little over $56,000 associated with carrying costs. The revenue requirement is approximately $4.2 million higher than the revenue requirement for the 2020 renewable rider rate. As a result of this change, a residential customer consuming 1,000 kilowatt hours per month would experience a bill increase of approximately $4.24. The commission finds Otter Tail's investments qualify for recovery. That was the first of the factors. Their incurred costs are reasonable and prudent. That's the second. And the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail's tariff. Therefore, the 2021 RRCR rider rate change should be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor? Oh.
This is really, in my opinion, part two of something that began a year ago, and it was related to how the commission recognized production tax credits that utilities might receive. So I'll make a few comments, because if you recall, or for those that do, I had a dissenting vote, voted no on part one last year, and I'll be following suit this year as well, and saying no. So, but one thing to underscore in all of this, this isn't about whether or not the utility is going to share the production tax credits with ratepayers. It's the timing of how those are applied to customer bills. So I think that's an important point, but this does deviate when you go back 12 months from past accounting treatments, and the accounting treatment, I should say, for tax credits and obligations that utilities can experience as a part of doing business. It wasn't a change that the commission was required to do, hadn't done it in the past, but we changed course, and I say we as a commission because it's a majority rule situation in terms of how we go about these things. But my concern still continues to be the same, and that is arguably the timing is less than ideal for the commission to be changing course from past practice given the current economic situation. Low and fixed income households in particular have been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. This does place an additional financial burden on them at a time when they really can't afford it. The other reality is that while this is well-intended and meant to prevent future ratepayers from subsidizing current ratepayers in terms of how we would be applying the production tax credits for wind-generated electricity, I feel it does the exact opposite from a subsidization standpoint, and here's the reason why. Future ratepayers aren't the ones footing the bill for the PTCs companies receive each year. Those funds are generated through the federal taxes people are paying today, not those that they will pay in the future. So in effect, current ratepayers who also are today's taxpayer supporting the PTC, they actually get hit twice. And I don't believe that's an equitable situation, and it punishes the current class of ratepayers. And I realize that there's an argument in terms of national debt, and while that is certainly a concern, energy subsidies overall contribute at best a tiny, small, fractional amount of the amount our country owes. And while I wouldn't want to suggest that our country's fiscal challenges are tied to one single tax credit or subsidy program, it all has a role. It all plays a role in this. But the reality is that there are thousands of different programs in play across many industries, including some of our state's leading economic segments, including energy and agriculture. So, but the commission's role isn't to look at fiscal policy and try and correct the wrongs at the federal level, because I think it's a serious issue. Without question, national debt. But our role is to administer policy within the areas that we have jurisdiction upon, which would be the regulatory segments that the legislature has tasked us with overseeing. So I just felt a year ago that there was a more equitable approach, one that would have smoothed the impact, balanced both current ratepayers with future ratepayers, tried to make a case on that. It wasn't successful, but it wasn't that it was rejected outright. It was just a difference of opinion in terms of what's the best approach to take. So, and it's certainly the prerogative of my colleagues to apply the approach that they think is best. But with that said, and given the fact that I was a dissenting vote 12 months ago, I'm going to maintain my original position, and I'm going to be voting no on this from a consistency standpoint.
I have some comments, but go ahead, Randy, if you want to respond.
Okay, I will just say I would have a lot to say on the subject of how we're spreading the costs out on these wind projects. But the only comment I'll make, I think the change that we made a year ago is wholly appropriate. It's much more in line with other long-term assets. But enough said, because that's not what this case is about, and this is not part two of something we did a year ago. This is this RRCR, and the motion that was made on February 3rd and the public notice that was put out said that the issues to be considered in this matter are whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, and they do, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and they are, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail's tariff, and they are. There was nothing mentioned about this case addressing the issue of the case that occurred a year ago. And so I don't know that every time the subject of an investor-owned utilities wind farms rate adjustments come up, are we going to go back and relitigate that concern? It seems to me that's, if it's going to be relitigated, it should be in a separate case and not added outside of what the notice offered as the issues to be considered.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. I think that's an important clarification that it isn't part two, because then we'll have part three, four, five, six. I mean, every year moving forward will be, because once you can't go back and forth. Like, we made the decision a year ago to do it this way, and it was with good reason to apply them in this way. The reality is the facilities, when they were approved and justified by the company, they applied the value of the PTCs to the cost of the facility over the life of the facility. And so those PTCs were used to justify the cost for their 20 or 30 years, however long. And so earlier commissions decided to apply those on the front end, which would have resulted in a big spike down the road on customers. We changed that and levelized that out. And I think that's still the right approach. And so that's what we'll be doing moving forward with these and the other lease Excels. I think MDU we did slightly different, but and I think it was well justified and reflective of the costs and the benefits of these facilities and the production tax credits.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved. Commissioner Crassus, will you be filing a written dissenting opinion?
No, I will. Just the record will reflect the verbal, or the audio will reflect my comments, and I think that's sufficient.
Thank you.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Commissioner Crassus, you have two items in your portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. My first item, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company customer credit DOE Settlement 2019 Application, Case Number PU-21-89.
Second.
On February 15th, 2021, Northern States Power Company filed a petition for approval to refund to customers the 11th payment arising from the U.S. Department of Energy's inability to accept nuclear waste under the Federal Nuclear Waste Policy Act. NSP requests to combine its 11th payment, which is approximately $689,356. That seems more exacting than approximate. received December 22nd, 2020, and an anticipated interim rate refund expected in the latter half of 2021 from its request for a base rate increase pending in case number PU-20-441 into a one-time bill credit to be issued with interest during 2021. Alternatively, NSP suggests the 11th payment could be refunded with interest earlier in 2021 through a one-time bill credit based on each customer's current usage. NSP estimates this amount would be approximately $2.75 to $3 per customer. Issues to be determined in this matter are whether the 11th payment settlement payment refund should be combined with any interim rate refund from case PU-20-441 in a future bill credit, and secondly, whether NSP's 11th settlement payment refund amount is just and reasonable. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by April 16th, 2021. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine these matters without a hearing. And again, for those listening, the contact number for the Public Service Commission is 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and for my second item, I move the Commission suspend the rate and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-21-92.
Second.
On March 2nd, 2021, Otter Tail Power filed an annual update under its Generation Resource Cost Recovery Tariff, as they are required to do. And as directed by the Commission, the proposed rate update for 2021 includes actual and forecasted costs through June 2022 for the Astoria Station Natural Gas Plant project and net savings associated with the retirement of Otter Tail Power's Hoot Lake plant. Otter Tail Power proposes to recover approximately $5,153,000 during the recovery period of July 1st, 2021 through June of 2022. The decrease for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month would be 66 cents per month. Again, the same issues, generally speaking, to be considered in this proceeding are whether the investments and the associated cost for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail Power's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by April 26th, 2021. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And again, for those who wish to comment on the application, it would be the number that I just gave on the previous order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that concludes my portfolio, Madam Chair.
And Commissioner Christman?
I authorize Charlene Magstead to sign for me on BK1.
Okay. Alrighty, so we have concluded the regular agenda. It's only 10:30. We will close, adjourn for questions from the press, maybe a few announcements, and then I would prefer to continue working if you guys are up for that. All right. Let me see what we have in terms
We're
of announcements.
Up to that. How about if you're willing?
Willing. Same thing. Don't be so sensitive. All right. So
I think we should just keep going.
We have a formal hearing this afternoon starting on the MDU gas rate case. It's scheduled for tomorrow and Friday. There has been a settlement filed, so we'll see if we get through that this afternoon or have to reconvene tomorrow. We have plenty of time set aside for poring over that. And then on Monday, March 22nd, which is this Monday, there's a hearing on Bridger Pipeline. We'll be doing that hearing from here as well as on location in Watford City at the Teddy's Residential Suites. It's on Bridger Pipeline, case number PU-20-430, 8-inch crude oil pipeline. And then we have another formal hearing next week, Thursday, the 25th, which is Keith and Deanna Kessler versus Minnesota Power. So busy upcoming week for the commission. And then moving into April, we have a couple formal hearings as well. So that's it for announcements. I'll adjourn and take any questions from the press.
All right, Judge. A couple clarifications. Number one, the $2.75 to $3, is that just the amount of the one-time bill credit, or is that what the customer